Support for WPR comes from Milwaukee Film, presenting the 16th Annual Milwaukee Film Festival, featuring local, national, and international films, April 11th through the 25th. Tickets are at mkefilm.org. Support for WPR comes from the American Society of Landscape Architects Wisconsin Chapter, dedicated to reimagining the design of outdoor spaces for the well-being of all. Examples at wiasla.com.
So a neighbor is a person who lives near you, right? Like maybe in the apartment or the house next door, down the block. But what about someone who doesn't have a place to live? Like what about the homeless guy who sleeps in a doorway down the street? Is he your neighbor too? And if so, how will you treat him when he knocks on your door? Our next story is about the complicated relationship that developed between a nationally celebrated artist and a homeless man. Charles Dwyer is a painter and a graphic artist. His work is in museums and galleries all around the country. He lives in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, in an old warehouse district, a kind of place that's home to both indie artists and street people. And a few years ago, he noticed a homeless guy hanging around, a guy named Jerry File. One day, Jerry asked him for money, and Charles gave him $5. And this went on for a while. Jerry would ask for a handout. Charles would give him a few bucks. And then one day, Charles did something unusual. He asked if Jerry would like to make some art.
First of all, I wanted him to keep a sketchbook, just a simple sketchbook, like the daily life of someone who lives on the street. No, was the answer. I'm not carrying this around. I'm not writing in it. And I can see why. After witnessing his lifestyle, it was not something he wanted to do. So I was setting up my etching press, and I said, well, do you want to work on some copper plates and do some etching, which is a very raw process? What you see is what you get, kind of a thing, kind of like Jerry.
But I want to interrupt for a sec.
Sure.
But so as far as you know, this is a homeless guy who makes his living scavenging for cans. You're an internationally renowned artist. Your work's in galleries all over the world. Mm-hmm. What made you think he'd have any interest or be able to make art? I mean, had he ever drawn anything?
No, he said he, I've asked that question. I said, have you done any drawing or any of that? And he's like, well, not since grade school. And then I asked, well, what do you like to draw or what did you draw? And, oh, you know, the basic things like trees and whatever he could remember from his childhood.
So the next thing you do, you're asking him in if he wants to work on some copper etchings?
Yes. But I know it was, but I love like the brute art and naive work, and perhaps what can I do in my own work that he could bring and show me in a sense. So the first plate was ready, gave him the tool, kind of a needle, and you scratch into this coating and it exposes the copper and then you etch it. So the first one was kind of raw and naive, but I liked it. And then the second one we did.
So there are a bunch of really interesting, edgy, I guess, ethical and personal kind of issues here. Like
it is. It's a psychiatrist's dream, I'm sure.
Well, so, I mean, was this your Pygmalion fantasy? Were you, wanting to turn him into this amazing kind of art brute discovery?
Kind of. In all honesty, how it started is we started like the third or fourth print, and I was really liking it. And then I'm like, okay, what can I do? And so I saw the South Shore Water Frolics had an ad in the paper. And so I'm like, okay, this could be interesting. So my deviant plan, in a sense, was to do this series of etchings from this homeless guy, which were very kind of brute, beautiful though, and I framed them very blue chip, better than I've seen my work framed, for example, and 8-ply mats and gold frames with the prices deemed ridiculously high. We even thought about like videotaping it and having a camera in the tent and just to catch people's reaction. So it started out as kind of a, not to degrade anyone, but just to kind of like maybe degrade like the art world, for example, and its process of who makes it and who doesn't.
So now you're taking your art experiment and you're turning it into kind of a piece of performance art and a commentary on the art world. At some point, didn't you think, am I using this guy?
Oh, yeah, definitely. But here's how it did turn out. I would pull an impression and I could see him get up and want to see how it looked. Okay, so I knew for once he was proud of what he did. And at that point, I was like, I can't do this. I'm not going to do this kind of spoof to the art world thing. And really respected the work as good, you know. And then I just had the show up. I had all not for sale. I wasn't even selling the work. I just had it, spent a lot of money, framed it, presented it, and people liked it. Graham Reed, who is an assistant at the museum, he saw the work at the South Shore Water Frolics and loved how it was presented, loved the way it looked. And then they pick a Wisconsin artist and show them for a duration of time. And so Jerry was chosen. So it was good. But like your question of like, was I ever using him? You know, there was like this sincere manipulation to get the best product I could get out of there. And I like to work. And when he was there, I made sure he worked.
It sounds like there was a moment of transformation. There was a moment there where maybe you were heading toward using him and something changed and you started seeing him, what, as an artistic equal, peer?
Mm-hmm. Definitely. And eventually we got him into the Salvation Army. That was another goal of mine. How can I help him, not mainstream him, but how can I help him? And when I saw him take appreciation in what he was doing, I knew I had a chance at least, you know. So as I find out, you can't help people unless they help themselves, you know.
That fell apart?
That did. After almost 90 days, being clean, clean clothes, a roof over his head, to getting caught smoking on the roof of the Salvation Army and being kicked out. The night he got kicked out, it was cold. It was like 5 degrees. And there's a knock on my door. And it's Jerry. The next day now is our art opening at the Wisconsin Museum of Art. And he was drunk.
So when he showed up at your house,
yeah.
What did you do? Did you invite him in, let him stay overnight?
Oh, man, I was disappointed. Yes, he stayed. We kind of kept him almost quarantined. It's like, Jerry, we have this show tomorrow. People are under the assumption that your life has been turned around and you're doing well. It was easy to write the story that way. And it's spinning out of control. No. But so we do the show, and everyone is under the impression that he's doing well. He felt terrible that day. I know he did. He said it to me many times. But, you know, after a long period of time, got him back into Salvation Army, and then he was kicked out again. And from that point now, he's just been doing what he's always been doing. Hmm.
But in the meantime, his work has sold, right?
It has. It's gotten to the point where, you know, there's a body of his work at the Iron Horse Hotel in Milwaukee. His work has sold. But the deal was, like, if we sold a print, the deal was you get half.
How much does his work sell for?
I think the highest prices for the prints I was selling was $400. Here's what happens. I sell the print. So I give him $200 cash. He'd be gone for weeks. So that was hard to get. I mean, giving him a chunk of money. So I'd rather not sell them. And I'm very reluctant to sell anything because I don't want to be the caregiver, you know? And I don't want to be his banker. And I don't want to be any of those things that have to keep him responsible.
So, I mean, I have a sense of what you got out of all of this. What do you think Jerry's gotten out of this experience?
You know, on many occasions, still, when are we going to do some art? When are we going to do some art? You got anything for me? Are we going to do some art? He enjoys it. Either he enjoys being in my house, being able to sit down and drink beer and listen to music and be off the street, or actually making something and looking at it. He asks questions like, well, where's those one gun paintings we made? Or where are those? I've had offers up to, $3,000. And I'm like, no, I'm not going to sell it. Now, to Jerry, that's completely absurd, you know? He looks at me as let's make money making this work. Like, this is going to make me famous. This is going to get me everything I want. And, you know, it could, provided if he would do it on his own, you know, but it's not going to happen. It won't happen. It's integral where we both need each other, but at the same time, what we make is dangerous. And beautiful.
Artist Charles Dwyer talking about his relationship with Jerry File.